The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And welcome to the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show, talking about the book Think and Grow Rich. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder, helping you to build stronger and better lives. And again, today I am especially excited. Why am I so excited? Because we have an ideal guest talking about the chapter of auto-suggestion from the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And that is none other than Wyman Wimbush. But before we go there, I'd like to introduce our co-host, which is Ms. Robin Donaldson of Renew Construction Services, Ursula Odom, owner of Sulu 2 Publishing Company, and Sharon Parker, Ask the Coach Parker, speaker and coach. Today we're talking about the book Think and Grow Rich and the success principles. And I like to remind us on a regular basis that, and really ask the question, if Andrew Carnegie had asked you to take 20 years of your life and research the philosophy of success, what would you answer? Yes? No? Well, when he asked, excuse me, Napoleon Hill, that question, Napoleon Hill, with his hands in his pocket, only leapt in his hands, answered the question and said yes, that he would be willing to take 20 years of his life and research the philosophy of success of all the wealthy people and successful people during that day. As a result of the findings, we are the beneficiaries of the principles of personal development espoused in this book. So every Saturday for the last 11 years, we have come on this show walking through the book, talking about the success principles that never tire and they never get old. The first chapter on desire, the author tells us this is the first step to riches. It is the starting point of all achievement. Second chapter, the author tells us in his book, focuses on the faith, and we want to call it applied faith. Faith is the second step to riches. It is the visualization and the belief in the attainment of your desire. It is also called the head chemist of the mind, because when your faith is blended with the vibration of your thought, the subconscious mind instantly picks up the vibration, translated into a spiritual equivalent, and then transmits it into infinite intelligence, as we in the case of prayer. Now, we have moved on to the third chapter, which is auto-suggestion. The author tells us that auto-suggestion is the medium of influencing your subconscious mind. It is also a term which applies to all suggestion and all self-administered stimuli which reach one's mind through the five senses. Stated in another way, the author says that autosuggestion is self-suggestion. It is the agency of communication between that part of the mind where conscious thought takes place and that which serves as the seat of action for the subconscious mind. Now, with that thought in mind, we began to delve into the chapter. And what we're going to do today is we're going to start with Sharon, the Coach Parker, to share with us her aha moment. Then we will go to our co-host, Miss Ursula Odom, and then we'll have Sharon to share. And after that, we will go to a short commercial break, and we will bring on our awesome guest. So Sharon is going to share with us a little about herself, and then we will go on to Ursula Odom. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Miss Anne, the Master Builder. How are you?
Awesome.
Great, great. Good morning, everyone. Blessings of the day to all of you. It's great to be here. I am Sharon X, the Coach Parker. I am a life coach and motivational speaker. I specialize in motivational coaching and leadership coaching. And I'm excited, so ask the coach. My aha moment in this chapter is the conclusion of the chapter, actually, where it is in big, bold letters, which means in grammatically speaking, pay attention. And it says, I believe that close association with one who refuses to compromise with circumstances he or she does not like is an asset that can never be measured in terms of money. And as I'm transforming and taking my journey in the Think and Grow Rich process, I've always known the importance of who you associated with. It is said that evil communication corrupts good matter. And Mom used to say the people that you're around will be how you act. And as I am transforming in this chapter, in the power of autosuggestion, and changing my framework and my thinking and making sure that I am projecting according to the instructions in this chapter and following those instructions, as it says, to is exact and not doing partial of it, I'm learning that my autosuggestion also comes from those I'm associated with. So making sure and reiterating in this closing that people that I associate myself with and who I'm close to are people who refuse to compromise along the way, and that it's an asset, and it says that can never be measured even in the terms of money. So that was my aha moment in the conclusion of the book, in who I associate myself with, who I connect myself with, who I'm close with. And as you always lead us in this process and talk about like mind, like spirit, I have to be around people who also understand the principles of Think and Grow Rich.
Good morning. This is Ursula Odom, and I am the CEO of Sula 2, and we make old new in everything we do, in that we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible. And in particular, there are three areas that we focus. That's publishing your story, that's presenting or producing legacy walls that tell the story of your corporation or your business in a form that advertise every day, all day, 365 days. And I portray Mary McLeod Bethune as a one-person show. and that's telling the story of a legend. Now, for today, my thought and aha moment came as a result of page 73, where it says, skepticism in connection with all new ideas is characteristic of all human beings. But if you follow the instructions outlined, your skepticism will soon be replaced by belief. And this, in turn, will soon become crystallized into absolute faith. Then you will have arrived at the point where you may truly say, I am the master of my fate and the captain of my soul. I reflect on a children's story that I saw because I was taking my kids to the movie, and this is a while ago. It was Toy Story 1. And it was during that movie that I realized that there was a concept being promoted or revealed in what was happening to Buzz Lightyear. That little toy thought he could fly, and nobody could tell him he couldn't fly. And as long as he believed that he could fly, this little toy flew. But the moment someone convinced him that he could not fly, he couldn't get off the ground. And so what we believe truly translates into what we can do. And rather than anyone else believes we can do it, we find a way to make it happen if we believe it. And that's really my aha. So I'm going to make sure that I believe what I want to believe, and nobody's going to tell me different. Now, facts, I will evaluate, but then I will translate it into what I believe about my universe. So that's my aha moment.
Awesome, awesome. All right, Ms. Robin Donaldson, Queen of Queens.
Good morning, and thank you for the introduction. My aha moment came from the last page of the chapter, page 74. And again, in bold lettering, it states, well, after you have read the entire book, come back to this chapter and follow in spirit and in action. Read this entire chapter aloud every night until you become thoroughly convinced that the principle of auto-suggestion is sound and that it will accomplish for you all that has been claimed for it. And as you read, underscore with the pen every sentence which impresses you favorably. And again, these are in bold letters. And then it just made me think, because I was reading some Bible study, and it was really talking about how Jesus Christ, how he told his disciples that he was going to leave and prepare a place for them, but he was going to leave a helper, which was this Holy Spirit. And my understanding is, again, that's what he left to help them, because he knew that they would be persecuted, you know, based on for his name's sake. And so for me, again, after reading this particular page, I felt that Napoleon Hill, he left us a helper, because the journey that I have ahead of me is a winding road. So by giving us the principle or the understanding of auto-suggestion, I'm able to, I'm able to block, or I am the one who controls what influences my subconscious mind. So that is how I looked at it when I read it today. Auto-suggestion being the, I mean, at that time we can really say that we are the captain of our souls and the masters of our fate. That's it for me, Ms. Sam.
Okay. I want to, for the benefit of our listeners, give you what the book says in terms of first chapter, desire, what you're hearing everybody talk about, the instructions, reading what? What are we talking about? What Napoleon Hill shared with us in chapter one, and I wanted to share this in your hearing, he says that you should decide how much money you want. He gives us what he calls six steps to riches, and this is your desire. The first step, he says, is to decide how much money you want. The second step is determine what you're willing to give in return for the money. And this is basically some kind of product or service that equates to money. The third step is establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. Step number four is to create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you are ready or not to put this plan into action. The fifth step is write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you desire to acquire. Name the time limit for its acquisition. State what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. The sixth step, read your written statement aloud. Aloud. I want to say that again. Aloud. Twice daily, once just before retiring at night, and once after arising in the morning. As you read, see, and feel, and believe yourself already in possession of the money. And that speaks to the point that Robin was sharing, and then go to Sharon's point about association does still bring about assimilation. And the same point that Ursula was making about the Toy Story. Now, here, Napoleon Hill is giving us in this chapter on desire an example of what you can use to actually create your affirmation statement. All of this is talking about auto-suggestion. How do you program your mind? How do you use the power of your auto-suggestion to create an action plan for exactly what you would like to acquire financially? And we will get into the mastermind concept later in later shows, because your mastermind group will then hold you accountable for what you said and written as your affirmation. Now, at this point, Napoleon Hill gives us what he calls a summary of instructions. And we're just walking through the book. If you have a copy of the book, we're in the chapter on auto-suggestion. It doesn't matter what version of the book you have. In the book, he says, your summary of instructions, if you seek knowledge and a plan that you can achieve, he says, first, these instructions are given in connection with the six action steps in chapter one, will now be summarized and blended with the principles covered by this chapter. If your definite chief aim involves money and the attainment of wealth, first go into some quiet place, preferably in bed at night, where you will not be disturbed or interrupted. Close your eyes and repeat aloud, so you may hear your own words, the written statement of the amount of money you intend to accumulate, the time of its accumulation, and a description of the service or merchandise you intend to give and retain for the money. Give and return for the money. As you carry out these instructions, see yourself already in possession of the money. Then he gives us an example of what your statement should read. He states, for example, suppose you intend to accumulate $500,000 by the 1st of January, 5 years hence, that you intend to give personal services in return for the money in the capacity of a sales representative. Your written statement of your purpose should be similar to the following. I quote, by the first day of January, he gives you, in parentheses, the year, I will have in my possession $500,000. Which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In return for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of selling. And here you would describe the service you intend to sell. I believe I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render in return for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. The second step, he says, now you're going to repeat this program night and morning. Third step, you're going to place this written copy of your statement where you can see it. Now, this statement that I just read is what our mastermind group actually did starting back in the 1985 period. Why? Because we followed the instructions of the book. Aha moment for me in the rereading of this is the fact that there is a direct correlation and there is a relationship between my commitment and your commitment and what we receive. Because if I am serious and I have a strong commitment to what I'm saying that I'm going to do, and my actions follow it, then I will receive the results. If I have a weak commitment and my actions are weakened by busyness but not productivity, then I will not receive what it is that I am aspiring to do. This is where our organized plans come in. This is where our mastermind group comes in on a regular basis, week to week, to put us in check and hold us accountable. So those are our aha moments and our thoughts about the chapter. Right now we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to bring on our special guest and have an awesome dialogue about his interpretation of the auto-suggestion chapter and his implementation. So with that, Earth is going to take us to commercial.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right. We are back with our special guest, Wyman Wimbush. And with 30 years of service to our nation, 29 years of sales leadership at IBM, and over 20 years in the ministry, Wyman is uniquely positioned to bring a diverse set of skills and experiences to any organization and help you with any situation that you have when it comes to leadership and helping to empower your organization. Good morning, Wyman. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Awesome. Just ask me. Listen, Wyman, we are so very excited to have you on the program this morning. And we'd like to start off by having you share a little about yourself, and then we'll start with our questions.
Well, thank you. First of all, Ann, the Master Builder, I'm so excited about being here and delighted and honored that you asked me to join the conversation this morning. As you mentioned, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, is where I call my home. I've been here for quite some time. The Navy moved me here. As you mentioned, I spent 30 years in the Navy. I retired as a captain. I was a helicopter pilot and flight instructor in the Navy. About 8 years into that, I stayed in the Navy as reservist, but I joined IBM where I'm currently working. As a matter of fact, I'm going on my 30th year with IBM. So I had 30 in the Navy, and now I'm going on 30 at IBM. And I've also have over 20 plus years as a lay minister in my church. I'm an elder in my church, the Bethel Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And Rosemary, my wife, and I celebrated 30 years of marriage in February. So I'm part of that 30-30-30 club. And we have three wonderful children. And as I mentioned to people, I always mention that at the beginning, because as I answer and we dialogue and we converse, it's through those lenses that I speak, right? I believe that we're all a summation of our life's experiences. I believe there's a difference between, you know, 30 years of work and of experience and experiencing the same thing for 30 years. I have a very diverse palette of experience, and that's what I bring to the table for my clients and for those who I have opportunity to work with.
Well, you have not only done a lot, but you're still doing a lot. And I believe we met during the Black NSA Mastermind. And interestingly, you sent me something sharing with me that your wife and I met previously to that. So we're just one big happy family. I'd like for you to also share with our listeners, how did you come in contact or connection with this book?
Oh, it has been, well, when I first left the Navy, I joined a sales organization. So I was introduced, rather, to folks like Brian Tracy or Jim Rohn, Les Brown. And all of them, at one point or another, mentioned the book Think and Grow Rich. And I'm a big believer in the adage that if you do what successful people do, you'll get what they get. The quickest way to obtain excellence in any area is model the behavior of someone who's already excellent in it. And it's these icons of the industry of peak performance those high achievers recommend this book. It's something I had to put in my library and read. So it's been over almost 30 years since I first read it, and I was reintroduced to it through Black NSA and the Black Mastermind group. And as many of us have experienced, when you read it the second time and you now have 20 additional years of experience, and now you're looking at the same book you read 30 years ago through the lens of that experience, you see so much more. And so it's been a while. And I love what I love about the book is its universal applicability. Like the laws of nature or spiritual law, they're universally applicable. In other words, they apply to everyone and everybody everywhere, and it transcends time. So that's my introduction to the book.
Wow. Wow. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you also joined us during our annual meeting in January of this year, as we talk about our annual report for our life. Can you share a little about that experience and what your thoughts are?
Oh, absolutely. I believe Sharon asked the Coach Parker, she mentioned about being conscious about who you hang with, right? Who's occupying your space. And one of the things that I gained and was most impressed about at the International Mastermind Association Annual Conference, which is held every year the first weekend in January, is the fact that everyone there was of like mind. And if you look, let's put it this way, if you want to learn a language, a new language, the quickest way to learn that language is to immerse yourself in the culture where you have no choice other than to speak that language. And the quickest way to become successful or understand and deploy, apply the principles or precepts of the book Think and Grow Rich is to immerse yourself in an environment where everyone is speaking that language. And for that weekend, everyone there is on one accord. Everyone there is speaking that language, if you would. And it was so energizing and as well as enabling to be in an environment where every speaker was illuminating different aspects of the book. And so I would highly recommend it if you are a high achiever or you're setting high goals or you want to take your life, your business, every aspect of your life to another level. I would highly recommend it. One of the things, Anne, I would say is, even though the example that you gave had to do with money, it was prefaced by, if your goal is money, then. The Think and Grow Rich to losing weight, it can apply to achieving a certain level in your business with regards to notoriety. Every aspect, as you mentioned, the 10 principal areas, you know, your goal could be, I will lose 10 pounds by April 1st, and in exchange for that 10 pounds, I will get up and exercise, et cetera, et cetera. So you see the precept there. It's not just about money. It applies to every area of our life. And after I left your conference in January, what I said to myself, you know what, after 30 years in sales, where you have sales calls, sales management, cadence calls, what did you sell this week? What are you going to sell next week? What's your plan to get there? A mastermind group, which is one of the is covered in one of the later chapters in the book, is nothing more than a cadence call for life. You're held accountable for what you said you're going to do in various aspects of your life. You give that accounting to your peers. And when you know you're going to come there, you don't come empty-handed because there's a responsibility to meet your obligations and stand up to the word that you promised. So that was my impression of the conference.
Wow, a cadence call for life. A cadence call for life. I really like that. Let's tweet that. Let's share that. Because our annual conference that we're referring to, like you said, is held every January, the first Saturday in January every year. And we hold it at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton off your Model Road. And it's on Eventbrite. You can Google it. But we are about the business of your life and walking through the book. And thank you so very much, Wyman, for sharing that it's not just about money. Even though the book shares about money, I like to share that we focus on 10 areas of our lives as a part of this International Masterminders Think and Grow Rich process of personal growth and development, but also for a better quality of life in every area of your life. It was mentioned earlier during the commercial that the 10 areas are the spiritual, family, financial, education, health, personal growth and development, business or your career, civic, recreation, and creativity. And we like to set our goals for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 20 years, and I'm writing mine for what I will do when I'm 92. And I'll encourage all of you as you walk through life, where is the manual for your life? Where is it documented where you're going? And if you don't have a plan for that, I think you might be walking in circles. But enough of that. Right now we're going to go to Robin, the Queen of Clean, and she'd like to share some questions that she has for our awesome guest. Yes, ma'am, Miss Robin.
Okay, so Wyman, quote says, as a man thinketh, so he is. How do you think that relates to autosuggestion is my question.
Yes, it's interesting. For those who, thanks for that question, first of all. For those who attend church, you probably heard that quote, right? As a man thinketh, so is he. But actually, if you read, pay attention to it, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart. And with that connotes is it's not just what's between your ears, the intellect, but what's down in the very core, the essence of your being. What do you really believe? I'll give you an example. You can know in your head that smoking is not good for you. But until you really believe that in your heart, you won't stop smoking. You see, because we don't actually do what we know. We do what we really believe. And what you really believe, as you mentioned earlier in the show, it was mentioned earlier about Buzz Lightyear, right? He believed he could fly. As long as he believed it, he could fly. And when you start to have doubt, in other words, just head knowledge, then you fall off. So as a man thinketh, so is he. And I'll give you an example also that we see every day. If you hang out with people who believe in Murphy's Law, hey, if anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. they have the best stories about how that is true in their life. Isn't that amazing? There's a 100% correlation between one's belief as they think and the coincidence or occurrences of bad things happening at the worst times. The counterpart on the other part, if someone believes that they are blessed and they'll find blessings at every turn, they'll have the best stories and incidences, examples of how the unexpected blessings came at them at just the right time or an unexpected favor was heaped upon them. And so as a man thinketh in his heart, not just your mind, but your mind's eye and in the inner, the core of your very being, so is he. Rob, does that make sense?
No, I think it makes sense.
It does,
and
yeah.
When you... Oh, thank you so much, Robin and Wyman. All right, we also have Ursula, and then we're going to go to Sharon. And when you talked about that that scripture, I'd just like to share that my mom, like I mentioned earlier, was a holiness minister. And so I grew up in a certain way with a lot of dogma. And with that in mind, I heard the words, I read the words, but I will confess that it really was not until later in my life, in 1979, when I picked up this book and began to read it, that I began to understand how to live those words in application. Mm-hmm. So with that, Ursula?
Good morning, Wyman. You just hit a hot button of mine when you said about people who believe that they're blessed or, you know, that's something my grandmother used to tell me all the time. You're a blessed child. And as I was growing up, I had no idea what she was talking about. But those words have sustained me in so many ways because I believe it. If bad times are happening, then this will pass. If good times are happening, then I am blessed. It is so. And the other thing that you hit on that I believe, too, is that when people believe they're getting old, and or that they're getting sick, well, it seems to show up. And so I'm wondering what your thoughts are is about the link between the placebo effect and psychosomatic illness.
Yeah, that's very good. I'm gonna the placebo effect was something that was discovered by a French psychologist named Emile Cooley. And basically what he found was as he studied people who were recovering from illnesses, they performed better, they responded better when they were given positive thoughts. And the placebo effect, you know, in the field of medicine where they do medicinal trials, and they'll give one group a sugar pill and then they give the other group the actual medicine to see which would respond. And oddly enough, in some cases, the ones who took the sugar pill responded at the same rate as those who took the actual medicine. Why? Because if they believed they were receiving something that was making them better, their mind received that and their bodies responded accordingly. Let me give you an example of the opposite effect. Remember, just as if you believe you're blessed or you believe you're a victim of Murphy's Law, it's a law. It can work for or against you. So the placebo effect works for you. If you're told you're getting better, I see improvement, and you believe that, you will display those physical manifestations. The opposite is also true. You've heard of a psychosomatic illness. Psycho, the mind, soma, the body. If you believe the rhetoric that you're getting ill or you're getting sick, your body, you can actually make yourself sick. The story was told years ago about a gentleman who was a hobo, and he jumped upon a train, and it was a refrigerated car. And he knew it was a refrigerated car, but he needed to get on the train, so he hopped on board, and the door, the latch, locked from the outside. And he was stuck in this refrigerated car, could not get out. The temperature of a refrigerated car, as you know, can get very cold. When they found him, he actually had expired of hypothermia. Yes, because he was in the refrigerated car. But here's the twist. the refrigerated car was not working.
Oh,
it was the
wow.
same temperature as outside. But he had convinced himself that he was freezing, and he actually expired of hypothermia. That's a psychosomatic, not just illness, but death. And many of our finances are dying a premature death when you say things like, we're never going to get ahead of on these bills, right? So you are feeding yourself into that, and you will die, go to the grave in debt because you have practiced the mantra day in and day out, twice a day, three times a day, we're never going to get ahead on these bills, you see? And so that's why there's a definite link between the placebo effect and one's ability to walk in wealth and health and the experience of good things in life. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. Oh, my goodness. But this also worked in the education environment, too. They found a similar study as well, and now it just brings into question all of this.
Yes, and that's why I was and Ann mentioned, I say again, this book is not just about money. It is about your life. Every facet of your life can be incorporated. It is a universal truth that can work for or against you. And just like the law of gravity, I always say, just because you went to sleep in physics class doesn't mean you're not subject to the laws of nature or spiritual law. If you jump off any building, whether you're an A student or you never darken the door of the classroom, you still fall at 32 feet per second squared, and it's going to hurt when you hit the ground, right? And so just because you're not aware of the precepts in the book, Think and Grow Rich, doesn't mean that you're not subject to them. So I would encourage and exhort anyone who's about success to avail yourself of the book and pull the nuggets from it and apply them in your life.
Amazing. And I think Sharon has a question for you as well.
Hello,
yes.
Elder. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Outstanding. And I had the pleasure of my first experience at the accountability meeting to sit right to the left of you.
Ah,
yeah, remember? That was me sitting right
yes,
there
I
to
do.
The left. Yep, and so that's great. So I love the whole full circle because, you know, you just never know where you're going to end up. That's what my mama said, be careful how you treat people.
Amen, yes.
And so with all of that said and the phenomena of that process of the cycle and the soma, the mind and body, my question is, since that sounds like some of that can be happen consciously or unconsciously or intentional or non-intentional, can one train their mind like they train their body?
Absolutely. It's a great question. It's a question that's not often pondered because it seems like something that just doesn't make sense. We have all kind of gymnasiums and physical training facilities, right, to train your body. To train your body to do what? Anything you want it to train it to do, right, you can train it, whether it's swimming or running or lifting weights. You can get a coach and they can train you. But the most important part of anyone's body is not the muscles that they have or their aerobic capacity, but it's their mind. And, yes, you can train your mind. If you think about it, I was a pilot. And when we used to train for emergency situations, we would train to the extent that when the emergency came about, we did not have to think about what to do. We simply responded to the situation. We responded in accordance to our training. Our training was somewhat was physical, but much of it was mental, how to maintain your calm under pressure. Why? We were able to do that because we practiced it. And we understood what we should do. Now, in life, you can do the same thing. You can program your mind, so even when you're not consciously thinking about it, you think about it. I'll give you an example. Many of us have heard of the fight-or-flight syndrome. Fight-or-flight syndrome, in a situation where you believe your life is threatened, your body automatically, there's an auto word, automatically responds in a manner that maximizes your ability to survive. Your heart rate goes up, adrenaline and cortisol are released in your body. You get tunnel vision for the thing. Only the thing that is about to harm you is the only thing that you see. Your thought process speeds up. That's why when people get in accidents, they all say it seemed like things were going in slow motion. Your body automatically puts you in that situation to optimize your ability to respond. Now, that is autonomic. You don't have to think about it. It occurs at a subconscious level. Now, if you train your mind to receive certain rhetoric or certain affirmations to the point that you believe them without even thinking about them. In sports, you'll hear athletes come up and they'll say to them, hey, let's do this, or I can do this over and over. I can do this. I'm ready for this. I trained for this. This is my day, right? You've heard all of those things. In a previous session, I believe last week, it's often referenced about Muhammad Ali, the big trash talker, the mouth himself, Muhammad Ali. He talked more trash in the ring than anybody, but he always backed it up. And as I pointed out in last week's session, I would recommend, you know, you can go get the replays on these. So if you're listening for the first time, I'd recommend you go to the website and pull up the replay. But it was pointed out that much of his rhetoric was not for the opponent, but for him. It was so he could hear himself saying, I'm the greatest. He could hear himself say, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. That's who he was. So as he said those things, in order for him to say those things, they first had to occupy his mind. Because before we speak a thing, we must program what you think. It will result in what you speak, right? And as we learn in church, right, we frame our life with the words that we speak. If I speak, hey, I'm blessed, I'll find blessings. If you speak, I'm cursed or Murphy's Law, you'll find Murphy's Law. So it is very important that when we talk about self-talk is what is it's called in many circles of coaching. Your self-talk or your self-rhetoric actually is a way that we program our minds for success or for failure, right? And so that's what I believe, how that relates. Yes, we can train our mind like we train our body. I know that was a long-winded response. I apologize for that, but I hope the essence of what I was trying to say came through.
This is Ursula, and it did, but it prompted another question. How does self-talk relate to peak performance and auto-suggestion?
Yes, I'm going to use another sports analogy, if I may. If you when you play the sport of golf or not, when a golfer lines up a putt, in his mind, he sees dead center bottom of the cup. Your mind is amazing. We're visual people. And so in order for him to that, he has to see that in his mind's eye. And that's the last thing that he thinks. That's the only thing he's visualizing, and that's the only thing that he's thinking to himself. And that's what happens. If he thinks, don't push it or don't pull it, in other words, don't hook it, don't send it left or to the right, in order for him to think that, that's what he must also visualize. You know, as humans, we're visual people. Before we do a thing, we must visualize in our mind what we're about to do. And so if we're to be successful, we must visualize success. And in order to visualize success, we must be able to think it. And that's where that programming of the mind comes about. You need to embrace the rhetoric or the language of success. I can do this. I'm trained for this, right? I mentioned before, if you model the behavior of successful people, you will get what successful people get. It's called the law of reciprocity. If I do what successful people do, I'll get what successful people get. In the book, Napoleon Hill has chronicled some of the things that has allowed him to obtain great success. If you do what they do, you'll get what they get. I do a presentation called The Recipe for Success. The recipe for success. Imagine that. And there's not one of us that is not taking a box cake or something off of the shelf And the first thing you do before you get ready to bake the cake or make the cornbread is you turn the box over. The picture of the cake's on the front, but in order to get from the front, you have to look at the back. What's on the back? It's instructions. If you do what the instructions tell you to do, you'll get what the instructions are trying to produce, which is the picture on the front. If you do what successful people do, you'll get what they get. And one of the things successful people do, bar none, is their rhetoric and their self-talk aligns themselves with the picture of success that they have visualized in their minds. So that's where it relates. Yes, go ahead.
When you said that about the recipe, it also brings up the thought that you have to follow the instructions correctly and as they are written, because I remember the first time I tried to make a soup made out of a turkey frame. Well, I read the instructions as 2 quarts, and it was actually 2 cups of water. It was a little bit different than what it was planned. So you have to follow the instructions as they are written.
Yeah.
I understand that Sharon had I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. I was going to say, for example, and there are no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to the formula. Like someone asked me as a speaker, hey, how do I become a speaker? And I often tell them, in order to become a great speaker, you must first endure the pain of being a bad one. In other words, no one starts out a top-tier speaker. Everyone has to take their journey to the Netherlands, if you would, of a neophyte speaker where you're not so good. But if you want to become great, there's no bypass like you have on the highway. You got to go through downtown, right, the straight path. And the straight path involves some early learning that may not be your best, but en route to your best, right, you have to go through that area. So there are no shortcuts when it comes to the recipe. There is no easy street to success, but there is a street that represents the shortest path to get there.
All right. Thank you. And Sharon has a question for you as well.
Hey, I want to backpedal just a little bit to the can we train our mind like our bodies? Because you said something right before you went into the next question, and you said before you can speak a thing, you have to think a thing. Can you just expound just a little bit more on that part?
Absolutely. Right? And so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? As before we can say a thing, we don't, because it happens so quickly, because our minds are just so awesomely constructed and made, right? As we speak, we think a thing first. And so our actions, everything proceeds from the way we think. If you look at, for example, when I teach on the ABCs of stress, right? A being the stimulus, B being your belief about it, your belief, what you think or believe about a thing, the C being your response to it, right? In other words, if you can't swim, standing at the edge of a swimming pool where people are pushing people in the pool is a very stressful situation because you believe that if you get pushed in, it could cause bodily harm. However, if you are a varsity swimmer standing next to the same pool with the same environment, it does not cause you any concern whatsoever because you are a master swimmer because you believe that if you get pushed in the pool, it's of no a little consequence because you know you can survive it, right? That what you actually believe in that situation is going to dictate not only how you respond to it, but the things that you say to the person about to push you in the pool, right? And so I would say that the more you understand and believe things that will support your success, the more things that will come out of your mouth that also support it, right? As a man thinketh, so is he. Buzz Lightyear, if I believe I can fly, then what comes out of my mouth is I can fly. If I believe I can't, then what comes out of my mouth are things to the contrary. It goes to the old saying, we've heard it many times, whether you believe you can or believe you can't, you're right. And if you believe you can't in your heart, in your mind's eye, if you would, if that's what you really believe, your rhetoric will follow suit. And that's why those who have experienced the art of sustained success in any area, they immerse themselves in rhetoric, in books, in tapes, in people that they hang out with, right, that also program and pour into them the things that will feed the thought process that lends itself to success. Jim Rohn was quoted saying, if you show me the five people that you hang out with the most, I'll show you your future, because you will assimilate and take on the characteristics of the environment that you swim in, right? And by the way, I go on to add, for those who are into social media, show me the five people you hang out with most and I'll show you your future. And that's whether they're actually with you or virtual. In this day of social media, we must be careful about who we follow and befriend on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, because if you follow people who are sowing seeds of negativity and failure, you will assimilate that just as if you were having lunch with them every day. So I would encourage us, follow people, podcasts, blogs, who are positive, who are about success, who have achieved sustained success, not a flash in the pan. As they say, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn every now and then. But if you want sustained success, you want to immerse yourself in an environment and the rhetoric of those who also have achieved sustained success. As a man thinketh, so is he. You must first, before you can speak a thing. Does that,
wow.
You know, that, yes. Does that make sense?
Very much.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that this is an excellent example of why we continue to do this show, because we want to, going to your point, we want to espouse that which is positive to the world, and knowing that this is out in the universe forever, it's phenomenal. So excellent question, Sharon. I want to just remind our listeners that you are listening to the Think and Grow Rich International Masterminders Blog Talk Show, and our special guest today is none other than Wyman Winbush, and he currently serves as an IBM Summit Program Manager, where he coaches college mentored leadership executives, and so if you're looking for someone to bring into your organization, who's better than an IBM client representative who's an expert in sales, and with over 29 years of consultative sales experience, he is, as you can hear already, an innovator, a motivator, and a person with a positive outlook and attitude. So we're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to come back with Wyman, but we also want to remind our callers that if you would like to participate in this show, just press 1 on your dial, and we will bring you in to make your comment or to ask your question. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then we will be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back talking about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill with Wyman Winbush. We're talking about the auto-suggestion chapter, which is the third step to riches. It's also referred to as the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. Napoleon Hill shares with us that no thought, it be negative or positive, can enter the subconscious mind without the aid of the principle of auto-suggestion. with the exception of those thoughts picked up as flashes of insight or inspiration. Stated differently, all sense impressions which are perceived through the five senses are captured and processed by the subconscious thinking mind. And that's just to remind us that every thought and every feeling is speaking louder oftentimes than the words that we say. So, Wyman, it has been a phenomenal show, and we are so inspired. I'd like to have you share, before we wrap up, any closing comments as we continue. We're going to ask our callers again, if you have a comment or question, you can press one on your dial. And actually, we do have a couple people have been inspired. So before we give you your closing comments, we're going to go to the caller with the last phone is 0493. We're opening your lines, and good morning. You have a question or comment?
I just have a comment. My name is Pete Sherrill. I just would like to thank you for the simplicity and of the logic of the concepts of which you're sharing. Because sometimes when you listen to certain programs about success, it could be more complex than some people can comprehend. But it's so like fundamentally sound that I just wanted to just share that with you. That I appreciate the way you all have communicated these concepts for people to be able to embrace them.
Wow! Thank you so very much, Pete, for joining us. And I'm just curious, how did you find out about the show?
My dear good new friend that I've connected with, Ms. Robin Donaldson. She's a phenomenal woman, and I plan on trying to do some really great things with her.
Awesome, awesome. Well, continue to share the show with others and continue to join us every Saturday as we walk through this book. And it's just so appreciative that you came on. Thank you. Now, the next caller we have, your last four digits of your number is 2463. You have a question or comment?
Yes, my name is Rodney Lee Allen. This is directed to your guest there. My microphone is kind of garbled. I get his first name as Lionel, but his last name I can't get. Can I get that, please? That's L-I-O-N-E-L?
No, it's Wyman. It's Wyman Winbush. W-Y-M-A-N.
Okay. It's the first name. Can you give it in Navy language? W is Washington, Y Yankee.
Whiskey, Yankee, Mike. Alpha.
Okay.
Nancy. Yeah.
You say Alpha what now?
November.
Was the last one?
November.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, Captain. I'm a Navy veteran. I was on the Navy Nuclear Power Program. I went to Orlando, Class 8507. A veteran. you're in Jacksonville. I'm down here in Palmetto, Florida. So I'm in Lansing County. We have some assimilation. We're a Navy or a Squids or whatever you want to call it, right, sir?
Yes. Yes.
I was just listening. I think I read the book. I first read the book Think and Grow Rich when I was like 17 or 18. But like I said, I was in the Navy nuke program. You know all about that. I just wanted to get your name and contact. Like I said, I have a Facebook page. It's called Veteran High Performance Mental Health Services on Facebook. And I think it ties into what you're doing and what these ladies are doing with Think and Grow Rich. So if you can take a look at that, it's just Rodney Lee Allen. That's all you got to do. And it'll come up, Veteran High Performance Mental Health Services. And then I got your name. And I guess you're on you're on Facebook, you're on LinkedIn, and also you're down in Jacksonville. Is that right, sir?
Yes, I'm in both places. So you can find me, and I'll make sure that we connect.
All right, sir. Okay, sir. I enjoyed your talk, and it's the choir talking to the choir. I appreciate you, and drive on. Thank you, sir.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your service.
Bye-bye. Thank you, sir, for your service.
Wow, and that is what this is all about, sharing the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the principles of success. And so with that, Now we can go, Mr. Wyman, to your closing comments.
Here's my closing comments, and you probably would expect this to come from me. I know Ann, you would, but affirmations. Affirmations are so important. Affirmations are how we program our minds. And we program our minds, that determines what we think. And as I mentioned before, we think a thing before we say a thing. So when I say I am blessed, it's not a statement of what's happening at the moment. It's a statement of who I am. I am blessed, right? And so that's an affirmation, right? If you ask me how I'm doing, and I would say in the church ease or church speak, hey, I'm blessed and highly favored. It's not a statement of the moment. It's who I am. Just like my name is Wyman Winbush, I am blessed. That's an affirmation. And another affirmation that I use every day, and I'm just using an example how many of us say affirmations many, many times, not realizing what they are and the power they have to enable or hurt us. I'm living a Romans 8:28 life. For those who go to church, you'll recognize that scripture saying all things work for my good, right? It says all things work for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. On my worst day, when the devil's done his best to give me a black eye, I come back with that affirmation. Yes, I may have had a bad day. I may have gotten a pink slip. I may have lost a deal, but this too works for my good. And in other words, in my darkest hour, my most dire moment, I have a reason to find hope and a light that will propel me forward, give me a reason to get back up. And so that scripture becomes my affirmation, and every time I say it, it affirms who I am, and it manifests because I believe it. And so I would take, I would challenge everyone out there, you need to find affirmations that are going to enable you. Affirmations that are going to pave the way for your success. Again, like the laws of nature and both spiritual law, they're universally applicable. They transcend time. They apply to everyone. As long as the law, right, of auto-suggestion is out there, you owe it to yourself and all of those who depend upon you, your family, your colleagues, your community. You owe it to yourself and those who depend on you to figure out how to make auto-suggestion work on your behalf. That's my final thought, Anne.
Oh, wow. And how would you like for people to reach you that would like to connect with you from the show?
Yes, you can on calltoexcellence.com. You can find that as our website. I'm also on Facebook at a company named Kairos International. It's a Facebook page, or you can find me on Facebook under my own name, right? So Wyman Winbush, W-Y-M-A-N, last name is W-I-N, B as in Baker, U-S-H.
One more time, spell it for those who may be listening.
Yes, that's W-Y-M-A-N, W-I-N, B as in Baker, U-S-H. And the website is called calltoexcellence.com. Just as it sounds, C-A-L-L-E-D, the number 2, E-X-C-E-L-L-E-N-C-E, calltoexcellence.com.
All right, now.
Under my name? Yes.
No, go ahead.
I was saying I'm also on LinkedIn. I know a lot of you on that professional network. I'd love to connect with you there. Just look me up. I'll look for your invitations, and I'll respond immediately. And, in closing, I'd also like to thank you and Sharon and Robin and Ursula for inviting me to share with you on this morning. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, it has been our pleasure, too, Wyman. And I want to share with our listeners, too, that Wyman was a listener to this show, and he pressed one to ask a question, and now he is a guest. If you are listening to these shows, these podcasts, chime in, like Wyman said, find the voice that connects with your spirit and where you want to go in your business and your life, and be empowered, but also be empowering in the lives of others. So I'm going to ask Sharon and Ursula if you have any closing remarks, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. It has been a phenomenal, phenomenal experience.
This is Ursula. Enough said. I'm walking away with a list of things that I'm going to share with others and incorporate in my own life. So thank you very much, Mr. Wyman Winbush.
Yes, and now we'll go to Sharon. If you have any closing comments, Sharon?
Yes, thank you. I did all that. What an amazing, insightful conversation, especially as we talked about the psyche. That was amazing. And so thank you so much for your energy. Thank you so much for your insight and your wisdom. We pray God's blessing on your continued journey to success.
Amen. I receive it. Thank you.
We want to also remind our listeners to join us next week as we share the next portion of this show with Dr. David Banks. And again, we're in for a treat. So I'm not going to tell you too much, because then you might decide to be somewhere else. But if you are interested in continuing to have a better quality of life, join us as we continue to walk through this and this experience as you think and grow rich. And with that, we'll wrap up the show and see you next week, same time, same place. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.